Shepherds hurried to see all three, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. They were in a stable. Jesus was in a manger. I call them feeding troughs. Luke 2, which we looked at last time, was about the shepherds visiting. We will look at Matthew 2 this time. It is similar in that it takes place in Bethlehem. Yet the wise men see him in a house. It doesn't say a manger in a stable. It says in a house. And then when they see them, they see the child with Mary. Maybe Joseph was out and around. It's reasonable that the wise men came later than the shepherds. And they had moved from the stable as quick as they could, and then they're in a house. So that's why we did this order of events, and everybody else does too. We have Jesus' birthday and the shepherds. And then sometime later, don't really know how much later, wise men came. So please come to Matthew chapter 2, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. Now after Jesus was born, in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi, that's the Greek word, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." So they moved out of the manger and out of the stable, and they went to a house, and there's not going to be a reference to Joseph. He was born in humility. Luke chapter 2, the shepherds go to the manger. They go to, we might call it a barn, where he is born. But here he's born in royalty. Even though it was somewhat lowly, and he went down, he was born in royalty. And here are these people coming from outside of Israel. They came from the east. Anatolia is the original word, although we don't know exactly where they came from. But they came from the east. Well, the older name of it is Persia, probably, although that's not really known. Babylon, Persia, you know. Parthia was the modern name. The Roman Empire could not defeat them, could not defeat the Parthians. "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? We have come to worship him." Only God can be worshipped. Jesus himself will teach that. The Magi were some sort of royal advisors. We might say counselors, consultants. They came. Were they pagans to start with? Because most wise men on the royal staff in those pagan countries, most of them could have started out pagan. But they must have known about the Old Testament. The Jews, when taken off into exile, took Bibles with them. They must have known about the law of Moses. They must have known about Daniel. The book of Daniel referred to wise men in the east. That's like 500, 600 BC, and the wise men could not tell the emperor the dream, and Daniel could. And the wise men were going to all be killed in Daniel's day, but Daniel asked that they be spared. So it seems like centuries later, the wise men still remembered Daniel and still had the book of Moses. So they may have known from the book of Numbers 24:17, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob." So some sort of star, and the ruler will come with a star, and maybe the wise men knew about Numbers. They must have had the book of Daniel, which gives kind of the time for the Messiah to come. Daniel 9:26 talks about the Messiah, and then it has 69 weeks, which are probably 7 years each, and that would not run out at Jesus' birth, but it'd run out when he was cut off. Daniel 9 says he would be cut off before he'd come his first time, but he wouldn't rule. He has to come a second time to rule. So the Magi probably knew about a star having to do with a ruler coming in Israel from the book of Numbers. And the Magi may have known, if they saw a star, that the 69 cycles of 7 years each in Daniel for the Messiah to come is just about over with. You know, he would grow up, but then he would be cut off. Seems that the wise man did not have the book of Micah. Micah was a prophet in Judah about 700 BC, and he lived closer to Egypt. He lived in Israel, but he lived closer to Egypt than on the way to Babylon. And it seems like that the wise men did not have the book of Micah. They knew a star had something to do with a ruler coming. They knew the approximate time. And they saw this strange star, but they didn't have the book of Micah. That's what will be read to them as we read on in a minute. A star guided them to Israel. Seems like it disappeared. And they thought the king would be born in the capital city. The king would be born in the biggest city in Israel. So it kind of makes sense that they go to Jerusalem. Herod's staff had not seen any star. Makes you wonder, would only, like the wise men, the people supposed to come, would only they see the guiding light? Because it didn't talk that Herod saw any star or that Herod's counselor saw any star. But they sensibly go to Jerusalem. Herod was called a king. He wasn't really even Jewish ethnically. He was not of the royal line of David. That's why he's going to get so worried here shortly as we read on. He doesn't want to hear this message. Where is the real king of the Jews? We have come to worship him. And now, verses 3 through 6, the response. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. I think it has to do with like waves, turbulence. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people. He inquired of them where Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what was written by the prophet, and you'll quote Micah, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. You, out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. The wise men didn't seem to have Micah. They seemed to have Numbers about a star. They seemed to have Daniel about the approximate time. They were very interested about the Christos, the Messiah, the Anointed One. If we made a list of prophecies and didn't stop with the really specific, amazing ones, there would be about 300. I have seen articles where they list 300 prophecies. There are 50 or 60 of them, though, that are very specific and almost impossible to artificially fulfill. The impressive one here is born in Bethlehem, which is like no place. The approximate date of his birth would be midwinter. Lots of scholars think it was midwinter because they think of the sheep out in the field, and if the baby lambs would be used for Passover, then midwinter is a good date. These are all B.C. texts, these prophecies. That means they were written before the Lord Jesus Christ came. If a liberal says that the Christians added the Old Testament prophecy, then the liberals don't know anything. Because number one, the Jewish people are the ones that kept the manuscripts and kept the text. And the Jewish people would not add all the wording of the prophecies that were very specific about Jesus coming. In addition, the oldest Old Testament texts are B.C., long before Christ. The Dead Sea Scrolls, they help confirm Messianic prophecy, because the Dead Sea Scrolls are about 200 B.C. to 300 B.C., so they're two or three centuries before Jesus came, and they have these same Messianic prophecies. The one here is he would be born in Bethlehem. So that was written about B.C. 700, but we have copies of it to B.C. 300, so the Christians didn't add it, and the Jews certainly didn't add it. And you have all these Messiah births that are very impressive. If we did a full list, some of the Easter ones are maybe more impressive. They will put nails in his hands and feet. They will part for his garments, but gamble for a single garment. Things about Easter, Resurrection Day. But concerning Messiah's birth, his mother would at least have to claim it was a virgin birth. Be hard to prove to a skeptic it was a virgin birth, but his mother claimed it was a virgin birth, and that doesn't hardly ever happen either. Here is the place of one's birth. One cannot determine the place of one's birth. The ruler would be born in Bethlehem, house of bread, Bethlehem, house of bread, grain fields all around to make the bread. But the Old Testament said he would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was not a very big place. And Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. So this prophecy that he would be born in Bethlehem is really, you know, not capable of artificial fulfillment. It'd be on the list of things that are impressive. His mother would claim to be a virgin birth. He would have to be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a small town. I won't talk long about our home county, but we had a town named Hodunk in it. So one time there was a doctor in Amarillo that said he was from the same county. I said, do you know where Hodunk is? Yes, I do. You are from that county. So Bethlehem is the Hodunk. It's the no place. So specific prophecy, the Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem. It is a no place. The wise men don't know where yet. They must not have had Micah. Of course, the people knew Micah 5:2, the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, and they say that here is where he will be born. They do not quote the entire verse in Micah, whose goings forth have been from of old, from days of eternity. Now, the chapter and verses were not made until the 1100s, but in the 1100s, when they made Micah 5:2, they added a line or two that the scribes did not quote. Where will he be born? He will be born in Bethlehem. He will come out of Bethlehem, but he pre-existed. A child born, but a son given. He pre-existed, whose goings forth have been from of old, from days of eternity. Which they did not continue that quote. That might have been upset, but that's what the ruler was pre-existent, although he would be born. Now Herod has a secret talk with the wise men, verses 7 and 8. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. Well, it wouldn't have to be evil to keep a secret, but he's a liar. It wouldn't have been wrong to dismiss the Bible students that told him where the Messiah would be born. That'd be okay. But then when he tells them, I want to know where he was born, I want to know what house he lives in Bethlehem, when you find the exact house, come here so that I can worship him too. Well, we don't want to make a sermon about Herod, but he is a person that believes in the Bible's prophecy but hates the Savior. He believes that the prophets will tell the truth that he would be born in Bethlehem, but he hates the Savior. There are people today that act like atheists, but in a way they believe the Bible has been true, but they hate Jesus. There's such a thing as people that think the Bible does have truth, but don't want Jesus in their lives. Sometimes they think, well, I'll trust in Jesus later, and then I'll have to do all these things. But I'm going to put it off for now. So, we have a situation of the Bible is true. Herod believed he'd be born in Bethlehem because the prophet said so, but he hated Jesus. More on how bad he is or was in a few minutes. Let's read verses 9 through 12 as they arrive. And hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And coming into the house, not a barn, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, no Joseph, fell down to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Bethlehem is not far south of Jerusalem, 5, 6, 7 miles, so it isn't far. They saw this star, which now is like a guiding light. I heard sermons this morning on the television that is like a comet coming, and that, well, I don't know, it's like a guiding light. Like, here's the house. Right here's the house. So I prefer to say I don't know exactly what it is other than a guiding light. Right here to the house. Again, not the manger. And they come and see mother and child. Joseph must have been out of the house. They came after the shepherds. How long after the shepherds? I don't know. You get some information here, you can make a guess, but I don't really know. No name for Jesus given. He was named on day 8. Did they come before day 8? ? On the other hand, Herod will kill all the boy babies up to 2 years, about the time he inquired of them. When did you first see the star? How long did it take before you started off on the trip? How many weeks did it take to get here on the trip? So I would just as soon say I don't know when they came, but the shepherds came first and the wise men came later. Shepherds came to a manger, wise men came to a house. How much later? That's the order, but I don't know how much later. They did worship him. They did not worship Mary, and she could be highly respected, highly honored among women, but she's not the Savior, and not in the category that some people put her, and they look at the book of Revelation, they have the Queen of Heaven. No, highly respected, but not anything to do with saving people. Again, they came to worship. Jesus will say very quickly in Matthew 4:10, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Can kind of obey other people, you know, like Romans 13, submit to the government. 1 Peter 2, submit to the king. So obey other people, worship, only God gets worship. That would be the theological conclusion from looking at this. Herod lies. When you find the exact place where he was born, come to me that I may worship him also. You have here hierarchical ethics. The Bible does say to obey the king, but we obey God more than the king. And so they had told him they would come back, but God says, don't go back. So they obey God more than human leaders. When both can be obeyed, both should be obeyed, but there are sometimes human leaders give a command that is evil. It need not be obeyed. How many wise men? Don't know. It's plural. Got to be at least two. Because of three gifts, it's often assumed that there were three wise men. Maybe. Maybe there were a lot of them. Don't really know. We do know they gave Jesus their treasures, thesaurus. That's a word, treasury. But they gave him their treasures, gold, and Mary and Joseph did have some money with them, but they had to pay for a hotel, and they had to go live in Egypt for a couple of years. And so it looks like this gold that they got from them will be God's way of providing for them while they escape to Egypt and get away from the evil King Herod. Let's read about the escape now in verse 13 through 16. When they had gone, the wise men left. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod, for this was to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. Then, when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. God, through an angel, told Joseph in the middle of the night, get up. I mean, it's a good time to get out of there safely while it's still dark, but take the child, flee to Egypt. Joseph was hardworking, but he was also very obedient. He would do what God commanded him to do, including this. God told the wise men, go back a different way. Herod was very, very mad. Go to Egypt. There are already Jews in Egypt. A lot of them lived in Alexandria, so says a Jewish Egyptian writer named Philo. A lot of them lived in Alexandria, Egypt. They had gone there way back in Jeremiah's day to get away from the conquests. So they would go to Egypt rather than be dragged off into Babylon. The wise men sought Jesus to worship him. Herod sought Jesus to kill him. A prophecy, verse 15, out of Egypt I have called my son. Well, that's Hosea. It's kind of like first reference would be the nation of Israel was God's son, and they came out of Egypt with Moses in the Exodus. And so we might say it's a parallel. Out of Egypt I have called my son. We have references again of God speaking through the prophet, verse 15. There's another one in verse 17. We had one earlier in chapter 1, verse 22. 1:22, now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. I always think again of dual authorship, and I stress it. Who wrote the Bible? Well, Hosea wrote the Bible, but so did God. Micah wrote the Bible, but so did God. Isaiah wrote the Bible, but so did God. Jeremiah wrote the Bible, but so did God. If God is also the author, he supervised everything, made sure it was all right, made sure it said what he wanted to say, and the Bible is without mistakes. I think of this because of the past. One would be surprised how many churches and how many seminaries do not believe in the inerrancy of the Bible. And inerrancy, the Bible is taught, you know, every word of God is inspired, like on the close to the front of this, equipped for every good work, but all scripture is inspired of God, 2 Timothy 3. But I like to use the Gospels also. Who wrote the Bible? The human author wrote the Bible. God wrote the Bible. And God does not make mistakes. Messianic prophecies, he will come out of Egypt, nation of Israel, but my son, a parallel, he will come out of Egypt. Herod was tricked. Herod was mad. Herod, sociopathic murderer. Well, I get my little book out, written by the University of Toronto, of all places, by a person that did a dissertation at Cambridge. It's on Herod. How many people did he kill? Well, he killed all these relatives. He wanted to rebuild the temple to be famous for that. Wanted to build aqueducts to be famous for that. Wanted to build a pier in Caesarea to be famous for that. But let's see, he killed his brother-in-law, his uncle, his favorite friends, three of them, his wife's grandfather. He killed his favorite wife, Mariamne. Then he went crazy because at night he'd go to bed and hear his wife talking because he had already killed her. His mother-in-law tried to get out of Jerusalem in a coffin, pretend to be dead, to go to a funeral, to go see Cleopatra. When he himself was close to dying, he ordered 6,000 Jews to be sent to a stadium. And because he worried that no one would cry when he died, he gave the orders that when I die, kill all of them. So there will be some crying in Israel on that day. He died, and nobody did a thing, because they had him figured out. So the story about him killing all these boys, he was bad. But fortunately, we read more about Jesus. Let's read verses 17, and then he will come back to Israel out of Egypt. Verse 17. Then what had been spoken through the prophet, see, God spoke through the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they were no more. Verse 19, but when Herod died, behold, an angel appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came in the land of Israel. Crossed the border. Verse 22, when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, don't go to Bethlehem, he left for the regions of Galilee, and he lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken of him through the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. In Jeremiah 31:15, it talked about the mothers in Israel crying at the exile. The Babylonians were dragging off their kids. So an illustration of Rachel, who was buried near that area, crying. And Matthew says that's a parallel to the Bethlehem mothers crying. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph go into Egypt. We don't know how long they stayed there. It could have been a number of years because Archelaus was ruling. He ruled for 9 years. But when they go back, they can go to a place called Nazareth. Nazareth by the town is not in the Old Testament, but it is mentioned as being the word Nazareth as a branch. Or maybe it's kind of like a little town that's a little branch. Little town off the highway, an obscure place. So Jesus was born in a relatively obscure place, but it still was the city of David. Nazareth is even more obscure. A branch out in the middle of nowhere. When they go to get the apostles later, here's John 1, 45 and 46. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? But he was born in Bethlehem to fulfill many messianic prophecies. I do think there are about 300. There are about 50 that are very, very impressive. And one of them is your mother has to claim a virgin birth, which basically never happens. And born in Bethlehem, which it's a little town, but he's from Nazareth. So it was this unexpected taxation that fulfilled that prophecy. Prophecy showing Jesus is a supernatural sent from God, showing that the Bible is a supernatural book. The wise men show that people of all nations should come and worship Jesus. Now, Matthew is a book that has Jesus as King of the Jews, yet Matthew is the one that included the non-Jews came to worship him. At the end of Matthew, it will say, go into all the ethnics, go into all the nations. So the most Jewish book, which has the most Old Testament quotations and Jewish culture in it, the most Jewish book is going to say that he's the Savior of the non-Jewish people. Savior of the wise men at the beginning, going to all the nations at the end. And last, only God can be worshipped. Jesus himself said so. Moses said so. So when you have an account of the shepherds worshiping Jesus, you have an account of the wise men worshiping Jesus, then Jesus is God. Pre-existing son who came and was born. The musicians, please come.